Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The off season is officially here now. Bowl season for the Hokies is concluded. We were down in the Queen City, and shout out to the Queen City because they made us feel like kings, baby. Charlotte was a blast, man. The game we're going to get into, it was what it was. It was better than we probably thought it might be, but, it was good reps for the young ones that needed it, and there was a bit of excitement. Dukes Mayo did a good job of entertaining. Their MC could have been better, but, not everybody can be that. The weather wasn't bad compared to respective northern states that we might come from, and the game was a bit chilly, but, it is what it is. The time was great down there. My boy, Pete B. from Too Deep, he was down there with us, and he is here to talk about all things bowl game. Brother, how you living?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on again, dude. Had a great time. Got to see you on Friday. We did a little hanging. I smoked some cigar, had some whiskey.
Yeah.
Had trash mouth on Friday morning. but it was fun, man. A great time down there.
One of those mornings you bolt out of bed to brush them teeth, man. I understand. Those double oak smoked old fashions in the box, the presentation on those things were crazy. I don't know how much they cost. I did not look. I just swiped. Did that a lot this weekend.
Oh, yeah. The credit card was hot after the weekend, for sure. I got to stop at a bunch of breweries, stopped at Sycamore on the night of the Sugar Bowl, and I saw you a little bit later, and then the next day I did Wooden Robot. There's so many cool places down there and a lot of well-reviewed breweries in South End of Charlotte, and then there's tons of pubs all the way up towards the stadium.
No, that's a fact. I need to hit some of those breweries, but the good thing about Charlotte, it's not too far away. And probably springtime, I might go back. Yeah, Friday, Thursday night, dude. It was a blast. I didn't get back to my hotel room till like 4:45 a.m. morning.
I left what I thought was kind of late, and then you told me that, and I was like, "What the hell did he get into? Like the bar's closed, so I don't even should I want to know where you were at?"
I went to this place called the Corner Pub.
Okay.
My buddies that I played high school football with actually were there. One lives in Huntsville. He works for NASA, and the other lives in Charlotte. He sells Lexus. So I went and met up with them, and I brought the other people that were at the bar with us there. And then as we were leaving there, I was going to go back to my room, and then they were like, "Yo, there's this place called Midnight Diner. We should check it out." And I was like, "Okay." So we went there. We got there at like 2:45, and then next thing I know, it's 4:45 in the morning. I'm walking through downtown, uptown Charlotte, back to the West, and yeah.
And you sent that picture out of you at the tailgate at like noon. So
yeah,
Dan is a machine. I can't believe that, dude. When I saw that picture, because I wasn't feeling my best when I woke up on game day. And I look, and you're already like out and about, and you had been up way later than me. So that was impressive. How was the tailgate down there?
It was good, man. It got real windy, but when the wind would stop, it was like perfect weather for January. It did end up getting kind of cold.
It got cold.
I don't like porta potties, but it was almost a relief when you had to use one because you got a blockage from the wind for like 5 seconds. So that was always a nice reprieve, but a lot of people actually rolled through. It was a nice collection of people. Vito, Don V, he came through. Beer Control, several other Hokie Twitter members showed up. That was cool. It was good to see everybody for one last hurrah until April.
I know. It's this gap. I'm just glad we have the spring game and that so many people go down to enjoy it because it doesn't feel that far away. We don't have to wait the entire off season to see the people that we like to be with at Hokie football games. And so that's
Yeah.
cool that you got everyone together. I really wanted to come, but I was staying with a buddy and I was moving slow, and then I was meeting Billy for some food and it just never happened. But I did like how you opened it up and were like, hey man, if you guys want to all come down, like you were very welcoming. And I know it's not just your tailgate. I know it's Steven and Karen and all the rest of you guys do such a good
Yeah.
job with that. But it was nice too that you included a lot of people.
Minnesota academic advisors that were at the cigar bar, they wanted to come. I never hit them up, but I was like, they were like, give us your number. And I was like, I mean, if y'all want to come, like, that's cool. But like, well, I don't know why. I feel like you'd rather find some other Minnesotans.
I guess we'll get into the game in a second, but were you drinking the bourbon? I know you guys do the big bourbon table. Do you drink bourbon before the game?
I actually didn't touch it. I drank a lot of bourbon the night before, so I stuck with Miller lattes, and then we crushed that whole case, and I switched to Michelob Ultra. But no, I didn't drink any bourbon that day. If I go hard on it one night, the next night, if we're still drinking, I typically will
So
go
yeah, there
lighter.
are limitations to what you can handle sometimes.
I mean, I could handle it, but I didn't want to put myself through it. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like.
You got up super early and left the day after, which again, I had a later flight, but that's just something I'm not capable of at my more advanced age. I cannot like party till 2 a.m. because after the game, and we can talk about it later, but like we went to Charlotte Beer Garden, was there, I was drinking IPAs at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then Friday morning was bad. Saturday was worse. So I had to lube it up a little bit with some Coors Banquets before I got on the flight, and then I was good to
Yeah,
go.
well, Barrick will do that to you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
man. Yeah, I met up with Barrick for a little bit.
I was highly impressed with just Charlotte in general. Like, it was very clean, architecturally beautiful. Like, every picture I got of things in Charlotte, like the surrounding frame was incredible. The way they light up all their buildings. And
It's
I
an
thought,
underrated like architectural
yeah.
city. I know it's a much more modern, but there are a lot of unique buildings. And I used to visit my friend down there, Myra, a lot. And I always thought that for like when back in 2010, it's like, man, this city's like got a very cool skyline. And so I agree with that. It's a pretty city and it's a clean city.
Yeah. I hadn't been to Bank of America Stadium in years. Like a lot, like years,
Did you
years.
go to the 2019 Belk Bowl?
No.
No, okay. I went to 2016 against Arkansas.
But like that stadium's been around since the mid-90s and it looks great.
Yeah, the
Like if
club
you look
level
at
was
like
nice. I know we were both sitting in the club level. I did that on purpose because I wanted to be able to get warm at halftime, but saw a lot of people up there. I know you were in that section or that area as well. And it is nice. Like a lot of Hokies were just chilling inside watching the game.
Yeah, that place was, and I didn't wait long for any. Like, I got a
No,
nice
beers were
Carolina
easy to
pork
get.
barbecue. Yeah, I got a nice tall boy Miller Lite and a pork barbecue sandwich at halftime, and I waited 2 seconds. Like,
Yeah.
and like the stadium itself, like I've been in several stadiums, and like even like that stadium is older than FedEx Field, and FedEx Field is in way worse shape than Bank of America Stadium. Like they have, I don't know if they've redone it or what, but Bank of America Stadium was awesome, and it was easy to get in and out of.
Yes, it was. And obviously it wasn't super crowded. Like we saw the pics of the stadium. Hokies did pretty well. Minnesota, I was still impressed with the number of Gophers that came down. I guess Charlotte is a tropical paradise compared to Minnesota, so you might as well go down there in January. But they've definitely redone and pumped some money into like the concourses and the club level and all that stuff because it's up to date. There's screens everywhere, but super easy to get in and out. Unless you were Billy Ray, who did get stopped by security a couple different times. Unknown why. That guy, we were having a blast. Him and I, we scootered to the game. He put up
Yeah,
a
how
bunch
was
of
that in the
videos.
weather?
It was good. I mean, I had gloves on. It was the Dumb and Dumber. Like Billy's like, "You brought gloves?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's freezing out here." But we got to the game quick because we were, start drinking beers and you get behind. And you're like, "We got to get to the game." But yeah, we had a blast. And he was double fisting the 25 ounces. The whole every time he got up, he's like, "I got some more beers." I was like, "We have four unopened beers like right in front of us, dude." Like he was having some fun, and we had a blast watching the game.
Yeah, I had a blast. I had no expectation, really. Like, I didn't know. I was just going for the vibes. Like, because it's a
Oh,
bowl
for
game.
sure.
We've done it all year. Let's get one more in. Like, Charlotte's a cool city. So, like, the game result itself, like, whatever, really. A lot of the negative shit, like, is changing. So, like, it was just kind of like, yeah, well, like, but I will say, like, number 70, like, as bad as you've been all year, this was your swan song, buddy. Like, you were, somebody called him a matador. I think it was Evan on 247 said he was just a matador. He just waved him right through. Like, I was man, like, it was like, I felt bad for Pop and Schley, dude. Like,
oh, yeah.
They hadn't, Bowen had no time to set up his offense at all, which made the double reverse on third and goal from the 15 more egregious, but at least the game didn't matter.
There was a lot of chatter yesterday after the game of just, oh, we told too many lies about Pop. I'm like, did we, or are there three offensive linemen out and he has no time to do anything? I realized there, of course, after the UVA performance, which was the best pure quarterback performance we saw all season, in my opinion. Stanford was good for drones. Miami was good for drones. But UVA was, for a first-time starter, like, it was amazing, and it deserved the praise that it got. Judging Pop based on what was going out there on Friday night, like, don't do that. Like, we had a bad offensive line all year long, and then we lost three starters before this game. So, like, I know Schley played a little bit better than him. He was 2 of 6 passing. You know, yeah. Pop hit 8 of 12. I know none of them were for, like, big yardage or anything like that. But, like, don't judge either of those guys off of this, because, like, the offense just didn't have a shot.
Yeah, and I had tweeted this. I said it in Tally Space yesterday morning, and then I tweeted it last night, that we were in a similar situation as the Pinstripe Bowl in 2021, and we got railroaded by Maryland. Whereas this time, we were still more competitive, so I feel like Pry has done a good job of raising the talent floor at Virginia Tech. I feel like we could have absolutely got boat raced in that game, because P.J. Fleck, he didn't really lose that many people. He had a star running back. He still had his quarterback. Like, he could have easily have just ran it up on us. And, like, I thought for all the young kids and, like, walk-ons, like, third, we didn't even, like, we had several second-string guys that weren't even there. So, like, it was just nice to see, like, the competitive fire. Like, even if the scheme on defense looked pretty vanilla, there really wasn't a lot of adjustment or anything like that. I thought that they hung in there pretty well. And at one point, I was like, damn, we actually have a lead right now.
I know.
But our offensive line, especially that in close quarters in the red zone, the inability to even set anything up ultimately just ruined any chance we had, really.
It did. We were 3 of 11 on third down, 0 of 2 on fourth down. When we got that cool turnover off the helmet and then couldn't, we had to punt, like, even though we got the ball, like, super deep. That was unfortunate. But to your ultimate point of, like, I thought they played a little bit better than they could have played, because Minnesota was a tough team. They were out with 7 starters, which I'm not even, this is the numbers that Andy Bitter gave us, so that's all I can go off of. Mm-hmm. They didn't have 7 starters. We didn't have 14 starters. So double the amount of starters were out. There's only 22 starters, Dan. we were missing 14. So I thought the defense, especially, like, the entire secondary was new. We didn't have Peoples or APR. Kelly Lawson, who has gotten a lot of snaps, isn't there. They played, I would venture to say, pretty well, considering the special teams and defense played pretty damn well. And I know we gave up 400 yards, but that's a veteran-laden Minnesota team with a good coach and a lot of buy-in. And, like, I'm mad that, you know, maybe we treated the game more like an exhibition than I would have wanted to, with the switching of the quarterbacks and all that stuff. Like, I don't think that happens in a regular season game. They wouldn't have been as, like, oh, yeah, well, just throw him out there and then put him back in, and then maybe later in the game but Pop couldn't do anything the first three drives. Like, we went 3 and out all first three drives. We put in Schley, and we immediately get a big play. So that was cool. And maybe Pop would have got that big play if he had been in that time, but he wasn't. And so Schley was a little bit more effective. He got us a touchdown. Like you said, we had a lead. But I think we all – crazy things can happen in a bowl game. So we could have won. Before the game, maybe we'll win. Who knows? It's a bowl game. But – it wasn't likely. It was never likely with who we were missing on the lines.
No. Also, like, if it would have been a situation like last year, where we had these guys returning and they played in the bowl game, we would, I think we would beat Minnesota. Like a healthy Kyren with Bashal, like I think at least it wouldn't have been what 24-10 or whatever it
I
was,
mean,
but
yeah, if you look at what they did now, and we had Kyren and Bashal, like it might have been a lot different. Like we might have
yeah.
won for sure, because we never, from what we've heard over the last month, we never saw Kyren healthy at all this year.
No, not at
So
all.
what does that even look like? You know, and Bashal was a stud and he was banged up all year. But like to me, it was more that those guys are going to the NFL, or Kyren is hurt and Tootin's going to the NFL, so that's fine. But like a guy like Jenkins and Moore, who didn't play, I'm assuming they were like nursing injuries. I think Jalen Jones was the same thing. And like, don't put them out there in a freezing cold if they're nursing injuries. I don't know this for a fact. I'm just saying they were veterans who didn't play, and they don't necessarily have draft stock, so there had to be something else going on for the reason they didn't play. And even those two guys would have helped. But I also think, Dan, if we were playing Bashal and Drones, you might have seen Cody Lindenberg out there for Minnesota. You might have seen some of their bigger studs decide to play. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I do think that, hey, John Love, congratulations. You got drafted on Thursday night. Like when it's time for you to leave, like you're getting a gig. Like
That was
60
cool.
yard boot, dude, like hell yeah, man. That was great. The Tubby was a hilarious mascot. Like ended up being Flavor Flav. Like what the
What
hell?
I mean, could you believe that? Like I saw Flavor Flav, like I was kind of drunk after the game, and I'm like, why is Flavor Flav there? I'm like, holy crap, he was tubby.
Yeah. So I don't know if like he was Tubby for the whole game or if he
I
was just
would
Tubby
doubt
for the
it.
reveal.
Yeah, they did
Yeah,
like a
but
switcheroo at some point, but that's funny,
yeah.
man.
It's still kind of funny and the tech graphics with the mayo dripping down the touchdown, that's gonna get reused. Yeah. Twitter's gonna run with that one.
There was so much mayo stuff, dude. Some of the contests, like the one
Yeah.
contest where they had like the baby pools of mayo.
Yeah, with the tomatoes.
That was gross.
Yeah, no thanks. Or
There's
like the
some gross
mayo.
stuff going on.
Was he dipping fries or fried pickles in the mayo? Do you?
I think it was pickles, but I don't know, because they were giving him a taste test, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that guy at the bar after the game, because he was
Oh.
wearing a Logan Thomas jersey that I had. And I was like, oh man, I have that jersey at home. And then I saw him at the bar. I was like, I saw you on the Jumbotron. Good job. 'Cause he was guessing the flavors of mayo, I think. But
Yeah,
yeah,
that would
they do a
scar
good
me.
job with the promotion. Like they really do. They make it fun. They do a lot of like, for a bowl game, it's one of the best marketed bowl games out there. That's
Yep.
not one of the major ones. It's them and
Yep.
Pop-Tarts. Like those are the two best.
Oh, 1,000%. Pop-Tarts is one, Duke's Mayo is two, for sure. As far as like the what they do with their social media outreach and all that stuff.
They lean into it
Yeah.
for sure.
Brent Pry runs a 4.240.
I
That
was
man
gonna say,
beeline for those refs, dude.
we saw the fire out of Pry in the most meaningless game of the season. So that was interesting. And he got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike for it.
Oh, he was on him. It was like three or four
But
separate times he
it
ran
was
down there.
BS though. I mean,
It was egregious.
like our players were getting it seemingly from the stands, getting mauled, and we're not getting a penalty. I don't know what that was about. And then did you see the thing about how that ref or that crew, and specifically one ref in that game, like there's a petition to get him fired somewhere because he's
I'll
like
sign it.
a bad SEC ref. Like the SEC fans don't like him. So that's just a side note.
Well, there was like two or three straight muggings on our receivers that
There
didn't like
was.
consecutive plays that didn't even get called. And I never saw the replay of the one that Minnesota caught that all of a sudden it hit the ground. Like, I didn't know if he actually caught it or what.
Well, Andy Bitter said it didn't look like a catch. Like, and
Yeah.
when his immediate reaction, like he's like on the video, it didn't really look like we ripped it out, right? That's the one you're talking about?
Yeah, they never showed the video in the stadium though. They went to like Minnesota Gophers and the Pros, and I was like, I don't care about
Which
that.
was a
Like,
lot, by the way.
yeah,
I couldn't believe
we
how
had a
many
lot
minutes
too, actually.
we did have a lot, but the Minnesota one like went on a lot longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, and we got a light dusting of LED Sandman.
We sure did.
It's not how we would have done it, obviously, but it was
On the
still pretty
heels
cool
of
to.
Jeremy's video
Yeah.
talking about LEDs.
Yeah, and I was like, oh man, I looked I looked at Karen. I was like, Joe's about to tweet something. And then sure enough, it was like 15 minutes later, Joe Rogers on the timeline. But no, it was
What do you think about
was
some of the individual like young player performances?
I told Chris Lester after the game, I felt like a proud cousin because we've become so close. That Keelan ripped that 50-yard reverse.
That was
I thought,
awesome.
yeah, I didn't expect him to get caught, but I don't think he did either.
He
But yeah,
got upended pretty hard, yeah.
yeah, and I thought that Dante Lovett is what we're gonna need. Like, he's a certified stud. Like, he is as advertised. Aiden Green finally had the game we needed Aiden Green to have in a moment where we're looking towards the future. So that was important for him to have that game. The way he hurdled that man, I know I got called back, but
The
yeah,
picture's
that was
awesome.
impressive.
I
The
think
picture is incredible.
there's a couple pictures of it floating around, and they're very cool.
Thought
I agree
Laws
with
looked
you on
small.
Lovett.
Laws looked small, but Laws looked small, but
Yeah.
he was a de he was a demon, in my
He was playing
opinion.
well. Yeah, the guys who had to play on the D line did a pretty good job. Wilfred Penei got the sack. Fuga got a
Yeah.
TFL. And I'm like, those guys deserve a shout out because they were a couple of the few super seniors that decided to play. And
Yeah.
you know we needed them, and I'm shout out to Josh Fuga, who came on our show when we did the national championship show last year. Good guy. I got a letter from one of our listeners about an interaction one of our listeners had with Josh Fuga, saying how much of a good guy he is. So, great hooky. You know,
Great hooky.
I'm very grateful for him playing there out there on a cold bowl game.
Yeah, and Panay came all the way back from France.
I know
He had
he didn't even
the
go to a lot of the practices, and he comes back and gets a
Yeah.
sack.
Yeah, it was great. I thought we got pressure several times. We just couldn't get home. But and obviously I thought we did a till the end we did a fairly good job containing Darius Taylor, who is a good running back for them.
Yeah, he ended up getting his yards, but I'm with you on that. He was gonna do well. I mean, with missing the guys who we were missing, I was fearful that they were going to run the ball. We've been ran on most of the season, and it happened. But again, with what we had, I was impressed. And you mentioned Lovett. Woodson deserves a shout out as well.
Oh,
Those two
yeah.
guys are probably the most two important defenders next year. Maybe the most important, but like the two with the most star power potentially going forward. Like Caleb could be the best player on the defense, and or Lovett could be the best player on the defense, and they're both back and primed for big breakout seasons.
I thought Thomas Williams and Josh Clark also did a really good job in that cornerback two role.
Yeah.
I think we ended up. We saw a lot more of Josh than I think we saw Thomas, at least from my eyes, what I remember.
Yeah. I think
But it
so.
was, he had an unfortunate DPI call on him. At first, I didn't think it was. Then I saw the replay. I was like, yeah, well, maybe it was. But
Yeah.
like, I still thought, like, for like his first real game experience, like, he did well. I thought Chance Wiggins looked good. He got mugged once or twice on a 50-50
I
ball that
know.
wasn't called. But overall, I thought. The youth. We didn't see Tekai Heath at all, from what I recall, which I thought was kind of
Yeah.
surprising.
I thought we saw him at one point, and then it was Keelan. So
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out who was who for some parts of the game because they were. So many different guys were coming in and out. But to your original point about like the talent level, the reason we were able to compete as good as we have is because we have guys like Thomas Williams and Josh Clark that
Yeah.
just are starting their first game and are not bad, you know? Like the talent level compared to the Pinstripe Bowl is vastly superior. I don't know,
Yeah.
maybe some people would push back on that because they look at the result, they look at our season, whatever. It's night and day. It is just night and day.
It is night and day. You can when we they Maryland put like 50 on us.
Yeah, Pry
Like,
while Pry was talking to the camera.
yeah. Oh my gosh. And then, like, I think, you know, our safety play wasn't amazing. Quentin Reddish obviously was good. I saw like they had Braylon in several different
Yeah, he was out
spots.
there.
Yeah, it just and obviously that room we saw in the portal already has been overhauled, so that'll look different.
Spencer played a lot.
Yeah,
He
I'm
led us in
still,
tackles. All of his tackles were
yeah,
solo tackles, and that's despite like taking some bad angles at times.
yeah. I'm still not. I don't see the Jaden Keller lies, dude. I just don't.
No.
I don't know, man. I don't get it. I don't see it. I'm not buying it. I'm not trying to disrespect him. Like, I think maybe another. I think whoever the S&C hire, the strength and conditioning hire is, I assume it's going to be Jared Ferguson. I don't know, but it's just at least for now, he's filling that role. So, like, I think, you know, winter could do wonders for a lot of these guys, but I do hope we bring in another
The
middle
one thing
linebacker.
I th yes, we need another linebacker for sure. And there's a still a several needs on the team in terms of scholarship players that have to come in. But it would be nice to have consistency at middle linebacker. Like even if you're not totally bought in on Jaden Keller, like he played a lot better throughout the season. And to just to have a guy with experience who can make checks, and that consistency is something we've lacked so badly. For several years now. And I'm hoping, like you said, that over the offseason, he continues to improve because he played so much better throughout the year and
Yeah,
that
he
he
did.
has the maturity and the experience to get the defense in the right spots more often than we were this past year.
Yeah, and I saw that Sam Brumfield landed at Memphis, which is a very good G5 spot to land. So hopefully he can do well there because, I mean, it didn't work out for him here, but he seemed like a great guy and he was a good leader from everything the coaches say. So, yeah, it was. The D line, the young kids, Asen Stevens. I'm still excited about him going forward. Like
Yes,
he was out
definitely.
there with the midriff showing. I was like, damn, dude, it's a little. I was like, that's pretty sassy for this weather. But do you? And it's always warmer on the field. Like, it is. I don't like the
It's
heated turf. I
warmer in
don't
the
know,
stadium
but
than it is outside the state. It's just kind of like how it
yeah.
goes with football games. But Asen Stevens will have every opportunity next year to compete for lots of snaps.
Yes. I'm looking for, that's what I'm probably looking forward to the most throughout the spring is the competition because I feel like it's for except for like two or three spots maybe it's going to be wide open. Montavious Cunningham actually didn't look terrible when he came in and played.
I thought that kid could play. Like, we thought that guy could play, whether it
Yeah.
was just from the tape from his last stop or a little bit in the spring game. And it was surprising throughout the year that he didn't surpass one a tackle here or a guard here or whatever. And we're going to need him. I mean, we need bodies, and he's got experience, and hopefully Matt Moore can get the most out of him.
Yeah, I'm excited for what Matt Moore is gonna do. I assume he watched that game and was like, you know, I got my work cut out for me.
Chewy.
But I mean, I'm not gonna hold like Caleb Nida's a walk-on third string center. Like it was what it
Oh, and
was.
that's we should mention that is because the reason Nitta was out there is because Tommy Ricard couldn't play. Like they were
Yeah.
excited about Ricard being a center, and I think he got sick or something like the week of the game. Otherwise, we would have seen him out there.
Yeah, I thought because I thought Ricard was gonna. I mean, we didn't get the two deep until shout out you. Well, we didn't get the two deep until like 2 o'clock
Right,
on
they only put it out like 2 hours before
Friday.
the game. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we looked at it and it was like Malachi Thomas, and then we didn't even see Malachi Thomas, but like
Right.
two plays. But Ollie Jennings wearing one threw me off the whole time, seeing one on
Yeah,
offense.
why did he switch his number? I
I
guess
don't
one
know.
last ride. He freed zero, so he went to one.
I don't know, dude. Like, maybe he is a tribute to Kyron Jones. I have no
Yeah, and
idea.
I mentioned the two defenders that played, but yeah, Malachi getting out there, Jennings playing, Gosnell playing, Stephen Gosnell. I really
Yeah.
wanted Stephen to get a big play. Like
So did I.
I really wanted that for him.
Yeah, I didn't like that. It's unfortunate he went out that way, but his overall body of work
Great,
was
great player. Yeah.
impressive.
He
So I
really was
think
great for us.
he'll end up at a camp, and I think he has a good. He'll either make a practice squad or he'll make a 53.
I really think he could play in the NFL. I think he's not, maybe he doesn't have the speed. I don't think that maybe an NFL team is gonna, but if he gets in camp and he shows them what he can do, like I think he's worthy of, like you said, a practice squad or like, but he's gonna have to play special teams too. Keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's fine. If not, I'll get Dwayne The Rock Johnson on the phone. We'll get him in UFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, he
He can
deserves
play.
to play more football. Yeah,
Hey, we had a couple Hokies
absolutely.
win a Grey Cup this year up in Canada.
Yeah, I'm so And Benji, we need a tight ends, man. Like, I don't know what it's looking like next year, but I only know of Harrison St. Germain and Benji Gosnell. But I honestly, with all the portal entries,
Zeke
I have
too.
Not
Zeke
seen. Oh yeah, Zeke Wimbush. Did he not? He didn't enter the portal, right?
No, he's around.
Yeah, but like I haven't seen. That's the one position in the portal I really haven't seen. Is tight end. Like you see all like the Matt Zenitz and Pete Nakos and Pete Thamel, like they're all on top of the portal entries, but I haven't seen that many tight ends enter the portal in college football this year.
Do you wonder if it's going to be one of these things like, who was that kid that balled out in the spring game that was kind of like a tight end? And we're going to 105, so like balance is on defense, but it was this other kid that played well in the spring game. Regardless, like we need to get a tight end, whether that's via the portal or a conversion, you know, like the kid that's coming in from Tennessee, you know, that he's going to help out in the wide receiver room, Seldon, right?
Yeah, Cam Seldon.
He's big. Like, he's like 230. Like, could he potentially – he's 6 – I think he's 6'2", 230. Like, that's almost a tight end.
I think they're going to have him in several positions. Like, he'll be like our Debo, like Swiss Army knife. Like, wherever Kyle Shanahan needs that man, he is in that position. So – maybe tight end, maybe receiver, maybe a little running back, although our running back room
slot,
is full.
And that's where the tight ends are sometimes. So it's something to think about.
Yeah, and then obviously the kid that – I don't know if we're going to get him. I feel like it was a weird situation. He was like a former five-star. Like if you looked at his top six from a year ago and then you look at his top three now, it's vastly different teams. But he's a fairly big dude. And then
are you talking about, Cam still? Or who are you talking about? Yeah, okay.
That kid, not Cam Seldon, but the there's a kid that we might get from Baylor, Tennessee. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was an odd, like just randomly popped up. But and then Carnell Warren, if he sticks, he's a big dude. Like you never know, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel good about obviously Benji, but you always need
Benji and St. Germain are both good players, and Benji has that big play ability, like the receiving ability down pat. He needs to learn a little bit more on the blocking side, but I love his attitude. You know, listen to him talk before the bowl was it like he's just like a kid out there playing the game he loves. And that's how the Gosnell brothers are. And it's refreshing.
Did we ever figure out why Nick Gallo came back and didn't play a single snap?
I don't know.
Even in the bowl game?
I saw him down there like in his jersey. No pads, obviously, but yeah, weird. I think something must have happened preseason, either with an injury or something else. But because Pry had said at the beginning of the year, like, he's getting close. It's like, I guess he never got that close. Like, I don't know.
Maybe it was one of those deals where they just kept him on scholarship so he could finish school and looked out for him, which
maybe.
Fine with me. All right. That's cool. It goes a long way with people.
For sure.
I think didn't food that with Billy, right? He let him stay on and finish school because he got hurt.
That's why Billy backed him so much. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, if it was, it's a good reason.
Yes. Like, yes.
If somebody did that for me, I would be loyal too.
And with what the Gallo brothers did for Virginia Tech over the last 8 years or whatever, like, yeah, it would be deserved and warranted. But the whole going to 105 thing now just changes the math on so many things. You wonder, I think Price said we're only going to about 90 or so. Like, we're probably not going to do a full 105. But does that mean that some of the walk-ons get promoted and get their scholarship? Or does that mean we're actually grabbing more scholarship, quote-unquote, guys? I'm not sure quite yet. Like, will George Valance be able to grab a scholarship? I would assume PJ gets a scholarship because I don't think PJ
– He did.
Okay.
They just announced him and the long snapper both got scholarships.
Okay, cool.
Which is crazy that PJ wasn't already a scholarship player, but I guess I kind of get it. I don't know how the financials are set up with tuition for coaches, players, and or sons and stuff like that. Obviously, Kenny Brooks took issue with whatever happened with women's basketball, but I imagine football might be set up a little differently considering the magnitude of the financial situations around football versus a sport like women's basketball in college. But I mean, either way, like I'm glad PJ definitely earned it. I mean, he was awesome.
It's so a shame he got banged up because he would have had some big games for us when Tootin got hurt.
Yeah. And I assume like This running back room is stuffed to the gills at this point. So I'm sure we'll get more clarity on it by like May, but I don't know what it's going to look. And it could thin out, like if the portal reopens in the spring and maybe like a Tyler Mason, who I thought played well and oddly like in the bowl, like
Yeah,
he didn't, the numbers didn't look great, but I thought he himself like looked
he hit the hole
good.
quick. He looked decisive. Like that's all you can really go off of when we're dealing with what we're dealing with. But him and Coney being the younger guys currently in the backfield, what does that look like after spring? Because we are bringing in Overton, we're bringing in,
Terry and
Stewart.
Stewart,
Yeah, all these
Hawkins.
guys. Even a Seldon who might factor into that room. We don't know. So it is stuffed, and there are only so many carries. And I'm so curious to see what Bowen ends up doing next year with him and Moore, and are they on the same page, and will they run the ball more? Will they still try to be throwing a lot? Like, we still need to see what that's like.
My only real wish lists, I guess, are like protect the quarterback, give Kyron time to see the field, don't run the piss out of him on early downs, like stuff like that. So, like, we got weapons again. They're young, but we're mixing in some experience. We saw that Aiden can do it, Brody can do it. Like, I don't know. Like Snook Peterkin, he's not there yet. Micah Matthews, I think he practiced, but I don't know if he traveled down for the bowl game. I didn't see him, but like, I mean, it's a year of. I'm not really going to buy into the hopium, or the lies, as we like to call them, or the rat poison, as Grayson says. But I am more optimistic than I was 3 weeks ago. And
How can
but
you
I do
not
need
be? I
to.
mean, this
I
is what
do.
the offseason does to us. Pry wins the offseason. That's what he
He's a
does.
demon, offseason demon. We need to see, like, obviously, like, how it comes together. South Carolina will be tough, not to get too far ahead,
No,
but.
it will be tough. There's no doubt about that. I don't think right now there's any Hokie fan that's really expecting to win that game. Maybe some very positive Hokie fans are like, we're gonna go down there and win. But like,
Yeah, shout out
they were a
Truitt.
very good season. They had a very good season this year. We had a very disappointing season. They seem to have momentum. They signed like their DN to a huge $1 million deal. So it's gonna be tough. But I am encouraged, and I think the three hires that we still have to make, well, one we already made, we got two more to go, and they are huge. Like, they are just O-line, defensive coordinator, and strength and conditioning. Other than offensive coordinator, doesn't get any bigger than that for the changes that you're making. So it's going to change the complexion of the team. And does it change the attitude? One thing I did notice about our wide receivers, as good as some of the young guys looked in the bowl game, they're all skinny. They're all tall and skinny guys. And you talk about Ferguson potentially. We need no more skinny legs. I know, like, even Devontae Smith, who plays for the Eagles, was notoriously skinny and incredible. You can be skinny and really good. I'm just kind of, we need to put on some mass, we need to put on some strength, and we need to change the overall attitude to a winning attitude. And that'll go a
Ribeyes for
long way.
breakfast. Ribeyes for breakfast. Gallons of milk. That's what our coaches used
Yes,
to tell
sir.
people. Peanut butter, banana sandwiches, and glass of milk before bed. I don't do that anymore, obviously, but like, man. Yeah, the talent's there. Needs some size. Unfortunately, I don't know. We're gonna have Gabe next year, but Gabe needs to take some time, and
Oh, man, yeah.
he's got a lot more important things going on than football. And we're still thinking about and praying for Gabe Williams and his family and friends.
For sure.
So like, yeah, it's obviously the portal just reopened second half of the winter. It'll be interesting to see what presence Portal Santa brings. And then see how they get in the weight room in January and get to it.
Yeah, I mean, winter workouts are not far away. Like, for the coaches and these players, like I said, it's nice that we have the spring game because we get to go down and be with each other and all that kind of stuff and have fun. Pretty soon, they're going to be back at it in like a
Like a
month and a
week.
half. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, for real, like doing the Hunger Games and stuff like that, whatever they do.
Yeah, I wonder if they'd bring that back. I wonder if that was a Galt thing.
Well, yeah, that with there's going to be changes, but they're still going to have what they call phase one pretty darn soon here.
Yeah, I mean, normally, because we had an earlier bowl game last year, like a week. So now, like, kids are practically just going right back into it. Because when does winter or spring semester start? Like, in a week?
Like the 18th, right? After MLK Day?
Yeah, so 2 weeks. Yeah, they'll be getting back at it.
Definitely, dude. I know. And it's fun. We were talking before we even signed on. These off seasons now, there's so much stuff to talk about. And of course we make things to talk about because we're interested in the team and any little thing that happens, like we got to react to. But
Yeah.
there just is with Portal and these coaching hires, there's just a lot going on. Like honestly, a lot more than a year ago. Because of we had so much roster consistency going into last year.
Yeah, plus they still have to hire Mike Villagrana's position and Jalen Belen's position, which is on
Wait, what
campus
happened to
recruiting is
Villagrán?
important. He's at Penn State now. His daughter got cancer.
Oh
So
man.
then, like, I guess he had to like step back to deal with that, and then now they got him a job at Penn
Back at Penn
State, I
State, because that's
think.
where he came from, right?
Yeah, no, Marshall. He came from Marshall. And then, yeah, him and Alex Jones came from Marshall. But I think Penn State has a really good pediatric center. So they kind of, yeah, he's
They
where he
do
needs to be.
the dance marathon every year to raise money for
Yeah.
kids with cancer.
So
That's one
he,
of the
yeah.
big Penn State's big philanthropy.
He's up there. So hopefully, everything works out for him. He's a great dude. We'll need to get that director of on-campus recruiting figured out too, because they are the ones that plan all the stuff for
Yep.
all the different recruits, and it's interesting times for Hokie Nation. We're not gonna
Some
say a
changes
crossroads, but we are
for sure.
certainly staring down a path that we don't know what it looks like.
Yeah. And it does make it a little bit fun, but I'm starting to worry, Dan, that we've gone so long with just being mediocre. Like it's been a while. I know we had the 8-win season in 2019 and we won 9 in 2017, but like that's a long time ago, man. And I
Yeah.
worry that I know Pry like has big boy aspirations, and going out and getting Matt Moore shows that to an extent. But like it needs to happen sooner than later, or it's just like maybe this is just what we are historically and it's never going back to any type of real good success. Like I worry about it getting in the walls and we can't shake this 7-win, 6-win. Occasionally missing bowl games thing.
Yeah, I think between him firing his protege, firing strength and conditioning, like making changes, hiring Matt Moore, the fire we saw on the sideline versus Minnesota on Thursday or Friday night, I think he knows that, we're at a tumultuous point, and either this right now decides where he goes.
I,
So
most
I feel
people
like he
think of it as
feels
a
it.
hot seat year, right? Like,
Yeah, he feels it.
he's feeling it. And depending on who that DC hire is, that'll also tell us a little bit. And I think we all are thinking it's Poindexter because it hasn't been hired yet and he's still in the playoff,
Yeah.
but we don't know.
We don't know. And it's obvious that I like the fact that Pry is aware and realizes, hey, if I'm gonna get fired, like, I'm gonna do everything I can and not get fired. Like,
Go down
he is
swinging.
put, yeah. And that's all we can, I mean, yeah. Hopefully the punches connect on the opponents,
For sure, because we did not see Fuente necessarily do that. Like
No.
his last ditch efforts were promoting Jay Ham, for whatever that's worth, and then not firing Cornelson and trying to save his own job. He went down with the ship, and he went down because of it.
Yeah, he went down, and now he's like,
He just decided not to coach anymore either, which
I mean,
this is unfair. But the fact that he doesn't coach anymore is just like, dude, no wonder it didn't work out. Like you like I don't know. How do you just not, like that's your life and then you just
yeah.
stop? Like this isn't supposed to be, we shouldn't even be talking about Fuente anymore, but like it's odd to me. It's just odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good enough offensive mind to have a job. So I'm sure there are some offers.
Yeah, I'm
There's
sure.
some like assistant role or coordinator role. Like, just wasn't a good head guy.
I just don't.
I mean,
think
he
he
was
was.
G5, but
He was just not. He was one of these guys that, don't you think, like, he just hates NIL in the portal. Like, he just hates it.
I would assume that the current landscape of college football is probably not motivated him to want to step back into it.
Yeah. I think he's even said that on an interview or two. He's done a couple interviews on random podcasts and stuff.
And he's obviously a mixed bag. Like, yeah, you've heard all the horror stories about how he treated certain people and things that he did, but I've also heard some really good things. But
Absolutely.
I feel like that's every person in the world. Every person in the world has different experiences with different people, so nobody's truly all terrible or all good. You know, everybody has their moments of shortcomings and moments of greatness. So
yes. Some people think I'm a jerk and I suck at this, and other people enjoy what I have to say. Everyone's got different experiences with different people.
And some cat Twitter avies think that you like men. So,
oh my God. The trolling this year is definitely like gone up a notch on me. I mean, I think everyone deals with it, but like, definitely had some trolls out there, man. I got someone on TKP was getting after me. I've got someone calling me gay every other day on Twitter. Whatever, man. Whatever.
Well, like, in the boundary corner state of the program, there were like several people just trolling me in the chat, like the comments.
Oh yeah, you take your fair share. You take your fair share.
What Dan get for Christmas? Dan looks like you sweating. Get him a water. So most of it's funny, but sometimes it's like obsessive, and that's why I'm like, hey, how do you think about me when your kids are opening Christmas presents, or like you're sitting at the Thanksgiving table and you're like, oh, let me get this tweet off about Dan. Like, you have a wife. You think about me more than you think about your wife. That's crazy.
Yeah, like, no, it's
you congratulations.
Know, it's happened to me plenty of times in my life. I've never been a shy person. I will speak my mind and say what I say, and like, whether it's about Hokie football or anything else. And just, if you put yourself out there a lot with opinions and with a personality, some people are not going to like it. They're just not going to like it. And that's fine. But it also is the reason who I am. And so I think a lot of people, they feel that way. Like Billy Ray's a good example too. He puts himself out there and he takes more crap than just about anybody, and has for a long time.
Yeah, he has. He has definitely done that.
And if you met him, you probably wouldn't, because he's gigantic.
He's a massive dude. I like Billy. People on the internet like to think I don't like Billy, but I actually do like Billy. I think all the podcasts get along, to be honest.
Yeah, they do. I think most of us get along pretty good. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Pete, man, it was it's a good bow on. I'm relieved that this is over.
Yeah.
Like the season, like now we can focus on change and see how positive they are. So far they're good. So we'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Hey, men's basketball got a win over Lynn Kidd.
That was nice. We needed that, man. I feel good for the players for getting that W. Malijah taking that thing to the hole and then getting a free throw. Like that was great. Yeah, man. I'm also excited to watch these playoff games. We got more playoff games coming up this week. I think tomorrow you're going to help me out on my show on College Football Monday. Talk to me and Sam about some playoff games and what we saw this past weekend and what's coming up.
Yeah, Notre Dame. Like I said, I'm impressed with Marcus Freeman. He's beating the Notre Dame playoff fraud allegations, because they have their other CFP appearances haven't been great. They've actually gotten their ass kicked. So,
and they would still be taking crap if they had Penn State's path, but they had to be a Big Ten team, which I know it's Indiana, but then they beat Georgia, and you beat Kirby Smart and Georgia the way that they did. I think it opened some people's eyes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Riley Leonard is not the Riley Leonard we saw at Duke, where he's putting up the great numbers, but this is a gritty, like any means necessary Riley Leonard, and they have a great run game. So, plus the defense. That's
the defense.
Run game
good,
and defense
man.
Is still as pass happy as football has gotten. When it gets time to playoffs in the NFL, college, run game and defense still matter the most.
Yeah.
Being able to make the play.
Look at Ohio State. Look at Texas. Like, look at Penn State. It's run and defense for most of those teams. I know Ohio State can do a little bit of everything, but
Jeremiah Smith.
Those defenses are no joke.
It's just crazy, like that Michigan thing. Seriously, it just has to be mental, because like
Definitely.
they destroy people, but they can't beat a Michigan team that can't even exceed 100 yards passing in a game. Like, dude, Ryan, like I
At
joked, I was like,
home.
Oregon should put like the Michigan team behind Ohio State's bench, like something like, and
It's
it's unfair,
crazy.
Jared. Jeremiah Smith is like the best receiver in college football, him and Ryan Williams, and they're both true freshmen and can't leave for another 2 years.
I
So,
know.
like, that's insane.
What they did to Oregon was like pretty unfathomable. Like
I didn't see it. I
the
didn't see
way
it
that
coming.
went what way went down. But we'll get into it tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. All right. Absolutely, man. As always, dude, I'm glad we had fun in Charlotte. It was a good bow on the Hokies football season. I mean, we lost, but the vibe, like we had a good time. So
We had a
like
great time. And we
it
kind of
was
knew
a
what we were
great
getting into
final
too.
experience. Yeah, it was a great final experience until April when we have the spring game, and then even May when Metallica comes to town.
Oh,
So,
that's true.
Pete, I appreciate you as always, and go Hokies.
Thanks for having me on, Dan. Go Hokies.